Worthy. We worship you, Jesus. We worship you, Jesus. We bless you, Jesus. We praise and glorify your name. Holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Lord, you are holy. And because of it, you have made us holy through Jesus our Lord. We worship you, glorify you. We exalt you, Jesus. We exalt you, Jesus. Magnify you, glorify you. Thank you, Jesus, for this great gift, salvation, the blood of the Lamb, the power of the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah, for my new nature. Thank you, Jesus. We glorify you. We exalt you. Hallelujah. Would you stand with us? Hallelujah. Before we go into the word or anything else, we're going to give you opportunity to greet one another. Say hi just for a minute. Glory. All right. Bless you. Hallelujah, Jesus. Praise God. Father, we just bless you. We thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you because we know that what's in front of us is so many wonderful days that we can't even imagine. The glory that is in front of us is the same glory that Jesus walked in. It's the same glory. This earth is coming to an end. This world has this planet being terminated. Something is on the horizon. There's a group of people across this globe, this nation, across the world that are hearing the voice of the bridegroom. Lord, we thank you. We just thank you because one of the things that we know that we're part of that. And being a part of that, we know that getting us ready is what your heart is all about. Getting us ready for this last go of it, this last outpouring, Father. We've been saying Immokalee is saved for a long time, and truly it is. But we're going to see the manifestation of those things in the days ahead to an extent that we're looking at a mirror image through the Word of God. And we ask you, Holy Ghost, to show us even more and more through the power of your Word where we're headed, in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 9. We'll be looking a little bit there, and then over in Mark chapter 2. I think all we're going to do tonight, and well, say all, but we keep talking about revival. It's so important that we see revival. Now, when we see revival, what we're seeing is Jesus. And the mirror image that he wants us to see is the works that he did. He said, we'll do also. Sir. We'll do all those same things. So, what works did he do? Well, you can follow his ministry. See, the one thing we wanted to do tonight is we want you to put yourself in that place. We want you to begin to see, because before, if you can't see yourself, then you'll never be there. If you can't see yourself doing those works, you'll never be there. We've got to see that in the life and times of Jesus. Now, what is it going to look like? What we have to do is, can you imagine? How many of you have got a pretender on the inside of you? You know what a pretender is? It's something that you can go to and imagine things. Hopefully your pretender imagines good things. If your imaginer doesn't, you have to restrict it and pull it back in and say, nope, not going to go there. But everybody has a pretender or has an imagination on the inside. That imagination can be used by the Holy Spirit. And what we've got to see is we've got to see ourselves doing the works that he did. Now, what was a day in the life of Jesus like? And we begin to look at one of those days in Matthew chapter 9. Because what's going to happen is what we've been asking for is going to come to pass here in Immokalee. And you're going to be a part of that. What's going to happen is going to be a part of this church. And you're going to be a part of that. Well, what we want you to begin to see tonight is that the works that he did, you're going to do also. Now, what kind of works were that? What is the atmosphere of revival going to look like? See, because once you begin to put yourself in that atmosphere more and more and imagine those works, you're going to find yourself slipping into those moments. You're going to imagine yourself, and when you slip into those, not just with your head, but with your heart, but when your head rehearses things enough and believes it enough, you're going to believe that at the Winn-Dixie or wherever you're at, that God has the capacity to slip you into the same place that he slipped Jesus into and to do the works that he did. Now, chapter 9, verse 1 says this, and he entered into a ship and passed over and came into his own city. How many of you know what his own city was? That's Capernaum. That's where Jesus grew up. He was from Nazareth, but then after Nazareth is where he grew up, but he later changed his ministry and went to Capernaum. And he entered into a ship and passed over and came to his own city. And behold, they brought unto him a man sick of palsy, laying on a bed. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said unto the sick of palsy, Son, be of good cheer. Thy sins be forgiven thee. Hallelujah. And behold, certain of the scribes said within themselves, This man blasphemeth. Now, why was Jesus able to say, Thy sins? He said, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. But let's look and see what happened. It says, Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, Wherefore think ye evil in your hearts? For whether it's easier to say, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Arise and walk, but that you may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive, then saith he to the sick of palsy, Arise, take up thy bed, and go to thy house. And he arose and departed to his own house. He says, it doesn't matter which way you say it, as far as the kingdom is concerned. Because what he was saying was this, everything that takes place in the atonement to forgive sins is the same thing that took place to also heal your body. And Jesus is saying, once you're forgiven, you have access to the full inheritance of everything that God is. And so he's saying, either way, sins be forgiven, you get everything that goes along with sins that are forgiven. See, one of the things that we're going to be able to do in, I said Sunday, one of the beautiful things that you're going to get to do as ambassadors of Christ is to go around and say to people, once you have ministered to them and once they understand the full understanding of who Jesus Christ is and they accept him, you get to say, Jesus said this, whosoever sins you remit, they're remitted. Whosoever sins you retain, they're retained. It doesn't mean you're the one that's forgiving them, but you as an ambassador get to say unto them, look, I can tell you this, based on the Word of God and everything I know, your sins are forgiven you. They've been washed away. And if they've been washed away, guess what? Everything else in the inheritance comes with it. Just like Jesus said. Now, Jesus, you can't forgive sins. He could. But the thing of it is, you get to say your sins are forgiven, and not only are your sins forgiven, but you get the full inheritance of everything that comes along with that. Hallelujah. We ought to go around all the time trying to find people to give this inheritance to. We got the best thing going. Glory be to God. He says, and he arose and departed to his house. And when the multitude, now here's just the first miracle. Jesus is there. Now Mark records it as this. In Mark chapter 2, you can turn there. I can just read it. And again, he entered into Capernaum. Like I said, that was his city. And after some days, it's the same miracle that it's recording here. It was noised that he was in the house. And straightway many were gathered together, inasmuch that there was no room to receive them. No, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them. And they came unto him, bringing one sick of palsy, which was born of four. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of palsy lay. Now, can you imagine, get your pretender going, that there's such an anointing in this place? Or there's such an anointing that follows you? Can you imagine what we've been saying is pray in tongues, give yourself over, keep dying to the flesh, because the message is Christ in you, the hope of glory. All that we're teaching, what we're teaching is this: there is a continual transformation process, and it is possible to be transformed so close into the image of Christ that the works that he did, you'll do also on a continual basis. Can you imagine this place being so full of people, or wherever you're at in the neighborhood, that you can't even get them in? The word says they couldn't even get them in the door. And Jesus was in that house, and they knew that he was in there, and they knew that the power that was on him would heal this man. The expectation that is going to be provided as a result of what is coming to this city. You know, expectation in the natural produces things. Well, the expectation in the spirit is faith, and it's going to produce the miracles that are coming. Now listen, imagine yourself. Imagine yourself in that place where Jesus was at, that you have the ability to create an atmosphere through him. So much so that people would crowd in and wait at the door. Now the word says here they could not, because of the press, they couldn't get him in. Do you think they wanted their friend healed? So much so that the Bible says they took off the roof. Now I pray for the day where there's so much glory, they can't get them in here or wherever we're at, and they have to bust a window down or start taking the roof off to get them in. But Jesus was in that place, and of course he healed them. But back over to Matthew chapter 9, it says, and he arose and departed to his house. But when the multitude saw it, they marveled and glorified God, which had given such power unto men. Everybody say this with me. Not only did he give that power to Jesus, point to yourself and say, he gave that power to me. Hallelujah. And Jesus passed forth from thence and saw a man named Matthew sitting at the seat of custom, and he saith unto him, follow me. And he arose and followed him. Have you ever thought about, now I've heard some people talk about a lot of different things, about why there was an attraction to follow Jesus. You know, he could walk by the seaside and he talked to Peter, James, and John, and Andrew, and he'd say, follow me. Now, normally, if somebody walked into the place where you're working and just come by where whatever you're doing and said, hey, follow me, you'd think, I don't know what that cat's doing, but he's lost his mind. I'm not following anybody. I don't even know who you are. Listen, it wasn't no natural attraction. It was a spiritual anointing that was on Jesus Christ. I remember the stories that have been told about Smith Wigglesworth, that he walked in so much power. Now, we're not talking about Jesus now. We're talking about a man that he walked so humbly before the Lord and in such an anointing is that he would get on trains. Or a train. I don't know if it was plural, happened more than once, but he'd get on and sit down, and he wouldn't say anything not say anything, and the anointing and the atmosphere that was coming from him would so permeate the atmosphere is that people around him would begin to say, "Sir, who are you? What who are you? You convict me of my sins. What must I do to be saved?" Now that's a power that's coming from the Holy Spirit, and that's where we're going. It's not going to be through a process of us going around knocking on doors. It's not going to be through a process of us giving out visitor cards. We're calling, and thank God people are, and we should do that. I'm not coming against that. But this revival is not going to be based on conventional ways that man has done things before in the past. It's going to come through the power of the Holy Spirit and through an attraction that comes, and the only Jesus that they're going to see is the Jesus that's in your life. That's why we keep saying to you, keep giving yourself over, keep dying, keep allowing the anointing to come, because you're going to be another Smith Wigglesworth. You're going to be another Catherine Kuhlman. You're going to be another person that on this planet is able to sit down or walk into places, and people begin to say, I mean, why would anybody be fishing and mending their nets or doing anything and somebody walk by without any discourse or dialogue and say, "Follow me," and people and a person say, "Well, I mean, that doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense." Except there was something that so surrounded Jesus. And it was the glory of God. It was the power of the Holy Spirit. So as we begin to imagine ourselves, we say, "Look, Lord, can you do that in me?" Yes, he can. He's doing it on a daily basis every time you go to him to be transformed into the image of Christ. And the Bible says that he passed by this man named Matthew. He was a publican. Tax collectors were the ones they called publicans. He was sitting at the receipt of customs. He saith unto him, "Follow me." He arose and followed him. And it came to pass, as Jesus sat at meat in the house, behold, many publicans and sinners, those are tax collectors, the Jews thought those were the worst of 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 the worst. Some of you have thought tax collectors are bad too. But they thought of them in a totally different term. Sinners, the sinners were the harlots. They were the different ones, the ones that they just believed were the outcasts. And of course, they did need God. And sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. Now, in Mark's gospel, in chapter 2, we won't turn there, but it says that he was in his house, that they came to him in his house. So it says that they sat down at meat in the house here in Matthew, but in Mark's gospel, it says in his house. In other words, Jesus invited these to come in. You know, I've had people in my house. I've had people around me that I knew when they come in that they had terrible sin in their life. The sexual deviance of the world, those that were messed up and alternative lifestyles and different things. Did that bother you? Not for them to come in my house, because I was going to preach the gospel to them. How so? Well, through the love of God. Somebody said, preach the gospel at all times, and when necessary, use words. You know, some of the strongest things that you can ever do is to pour out the love of God. Now, the word says they came and they sat, according to Mark's gospel, they were at his house, in his house. And he invited them in for this sit-down. Now, of course, they weren't doing anything wrong in his presence. But you know what I know? I know this, that once they ever had their first sit-down supper with Jesus, they were never the same. They were never the same. We're going to get to the place that when people are in our presence, that the love of God is so strong and the conviction power is so strong,
is that when they leave our presence, they can't go back and keep doing the things that they were doing before. They won't be able to do it. I believe that every single time, I believe this with all my heart, that there wasn't anybody that ever sat in Jesus' presence and ate meat with him that walked away, that did not change their life. They couldn't be born again at that point in time. But all I'm saying is this, we're going to carry on us. This is what we're after. The works that he did, what kind of works? Not just the miracles, but we're watching the works. He invited the world to come and sit down with him. He invited the world to say, look, there is change. There is repentance. God wants to save you. God wants to heal you. And when the Pharisees saw this, they said unto his disciples, why eateth, your master with publicans and sinners? And Jesus said unto them, they that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. But go ye and learn what meaneth this, or what meaneth, I will have mercy and not sacrifice. For I have not come to call the righteous, but the sinners to what? To repentance. He loves them. He wants them to change. One sit down with Jesus will change their life forever. We're going to get to a place where people sit with us. It won't be condemnation they feel. They're going to feel so much love. They're going to go out and say, you know what? I can't go back over to that side of town anymore. I can't do that anymore. It's different. I've heard the words of life. I've heard the words of glory. Hallelujah. We're not talking about Jesus here. We are talking about Jesus, but we're talking about the Jesus in you. You doing these things. Hallelujah. So don't be afraid of sinners. Don't be afraid to sit down with them. You're the majority. Well, there's 50 of them and one of me. No, you're the majority. Sit down with them. I mean, don't go to the bar with them. I'm going to go over there and witness to them by going to the bar with them. No. He invited them to his house. Hallelujah. We're going to go to the casino. I'm going to gamble a little bit with them. And I'm going to show them that when I win, God gave me the money. No, I don't work that way. That's the messed up way. Hallelujah. But you can go to their clean parties. And you can sit down there with them while they're having a beer in front of you. And they say, would you like one? No. No. Well, why? Well, I met this man. I'm in love with a man. And then they'll think, what? What? They'll say, what? Well, I'm in love with a man. But he's not on this earth. His name's Jesus. How many of you know he's so real? I hope you talk to him today. I hope you talk to the Holy Spirit. I often talk to the Holy Spirit like I'll do this. Now, if you think I'm messed up, don't wake me up. Because I think this is the healingest thing that you can do, or the healthiest thing you can do. Talk to the Holy Spirit like he's real. I mean, I'm going to go into the next room. Let's go over there, Lord. Let's do this. Let's do that. Hallelujah. Verse 14 says, and then came to him the disciples of John, saying, now we're going to skip over this next few verses because it talks about fasting. We've already heard all this. But he did say this. I will read 15. You say you're not going to do it, and then you do it. He said that the disciples of John and the Pharisees, they said, fast often, but thy disciples fast not. Jesus said unto them, can the children of the bridegroom mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them? But the days will come when the bridegroom shall be taken from them, and then they shall do what? How many of you notice that Jesus is not here on the planet in his glorified body? So that tells us, what? This verse 15 has to be fulfilled. Now, if he was here and we were disciples, we may get the same pass that they got. But he's gone. And since he's gone, we have to fast. Hallelujah. Enough said on that. Praise God. And it says in verse 18 that while he spake these things, this is just in a kind of life and times. This is like a day or so in the life of Jesus. He's already healed this man of palsy. And then he sits down with the sinners and publicans, and he's preaching repentance to them and love of God to them. And then it says here in verse 18 that while he spake these things, then behold, there came a certain ruler. Now in Mark's gospel, it says a certain ruler. With a certain ruler was Jairus. He was a ruler of the synagogue. And he worshipped him, saying, "My daughter is even now dead, but come and lay thy hand upon her, and she shall live." And Jesus arose and followed him, and so did his disciples. And behold, a woman which was diseased with an issue of blood 12 years came behind him, and Mark records this also, and touched the hem of his garment. For she said within herself, "If I may but touch his garment, I shall be whole." But Jesus turned about, and when he saw her, said, "Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith has made thee whole." And the woman was made whole from that hour. Now, he still hasn't got to Jairus' house. I'm not sure if this is all just in a day. I have to study that a little bit more. But it's real close in proximity. I mean, this is just life and times of Jesus. He's calling the sinners to repentance. He's healing on one hand. There's so much anointing. He calls a man into the ministry to work with him because of the anointing that's on him. You're going to walk into places and you're not even going to say, "I'm here." But the whole atmosphere is going to change because you're going to carry that same anointing on you that Jesus had. Now this man, Jairus, comes and gets him and asks him to come. And while he's coming to his house, then this woman slips up behind him and touches the hem of his garment. And it's so amazing that Jesus, we know he's God in the flesh, but the Word says that, or the Word teaches us that everything that he did, as far as ministry, he lived out his ministry, he whipped the devil, and did everything he did out of his humanity. Why? So that you and I know that we get to do this, we can do the same thing. So can you imagine God, I mean, on the inside of him, who he is, but also he in his humanity, that's how he walked. He walked in the power of the Holy Spirit. So when he healed someone, it was a dependence upon his Father, and it was a dependence on the Holy Spirit for that virtue to come out of him, or for the Holy Spirit to heal that person. Now here's an amazing thing. He was so dead, completely dead to his flesh. He was so submitted to his Father that even when his natural mind, when his human mind did not know, and when Jesus asked, "Who touched me?" That's not a lie. He didn't know who touched him. But he was so yielded to his Father is that even when there was not a purposeful, on purpose prayer for someone or laying his hands on someone, the Holy Spirit had access to flow through him and get that person healed. Hallelujah. I believe the days are coming, the more you and I die, that, see, we're trying to get people now purposely. It's our purpose. We're praying for them with all we've got. We're sweating, you know, blood, sweat, and tears, and praying, "Oh, God, heal them, heal them, heal them." But wouldn't it be so wonderful? Just like we send out prayer cloths, and we've prayed over them and anointed them. Wouldn't it be wonderful that the power of God was so strong in you that just by accident, not really accident, but incidental healings took place? because people came into your presence and they knew that there was something on you, and they weren't trusting in you, but they knew that there was a power of God inside of you. And what if it was so strong that while you're doing one thing, something else happens all at the same time? Hallelujah. Because of the glory of God. That's where we're headed. Praise God. Hallelujah. Turn to somebody and say, I'm looking forward to the days ahead. She touched the hem of his garment, for she said within herself, if I may touch his garment, I shall be whole. Jesus turned about, and when he saw her, he said, daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith has made thee whole. And the woman was made whole from that hour. And when Jesus came into the ruler's house, he saw the minstrels and the people making noise. And he said unto them, give place, for the maid is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to what? Scorn. And when the people were put forth, and went in, and he took her by the hand, and the maid arose. And the fame hereof went abroad into all the land. Praise God. Now, he's going one place. He's done all of this stuff. He's healed a man with palsy. He's called another man of the ministry. He's had a sit down with sinners and preached to them repentance. One man comes and says, come see my daughter. While he's going, just almost inadvertently, power flows through him and gets a woman healed. And now he goes in and he lays his hand upon, or he took the hand, rather, of this young lady, and she arose, and the Bible says the fame hereof went abroad into all the land. And when Jesus departed, I mean, even after all this, and there's so much to say here about what happened with that young girl. She was 12 years old, the Bible says, and he healed her. Do you know what it's like? Do you know what it'd be like for you to give a parent back their dead child? Do you think that would start a revival? The works that he did, you're going to do also. Do you think revivals are going to start out of giving dead children back to their parents? Absolutely so. Hang on. The very best is yet to come. This is all in the life and times of Jesus. It was just a continual, beautiful, ongoing atmosphere that took place. Revival, what is revival? It's atmosphere. We've been pulling teeth almost out of it seems like for years. Can you imagine something coming so strong is that it'd be like liquid gold, the presence of God being so strong that everywhere you went, you could not get one miracle done before another miracle takes place, and another miracle takes place, and another miracle takes place. And when Jesus departed thence, two blind men followed him, crying, saying, thou son of David, have mercy on us. And when he was come into the house, the blind men came to him. And Jesus saith unto them, believe ye that I am able to do this? And they said unto him, yes, Lord. And he touched their eyes, saying, according to your faith be it unto you. And their eyes were opened. And Jesus straightly charged them, saying, see that no man know it. But when they were departed, they spread abroad his fame into all the country. How in the world can you heal a blind man and tell him not to? How can you heal somebody that's blind and say, now, when you go out of here, don't tell anybody. Come on, Jesus. You're going to tell me not to tell? What's it going to be like? You won't be able to shut him up. You can't shut him up. He healed my sick daughter. He healed my blind father. He healed my blind brother. Hallelujah. When they went out, behold, they brought unto him. Now, here's another one. He brought unto him, this is all in the same chapter, him, a dumb man possessed with a devil. A dumb man possessed with the devil. And when the devil was cast out, the dumb spake. And the multitude marveled, saying, it was never so seen in Israel. We had a prophecy years ago. I think it was Gary Carpenter that gave it and said, This city was once called Ichabod, which means the glory was departed. I mean, people had cast it out, said, you know, this city will never be. I've heard jokes about Immokalee all my life. But the Lord said, this place will be called Bethel, which means the house of God. Hallelujah. Now, before this is all over, it's going to go down as a famous city of revival. It's going to go down as a famous, mark my words, tell them I heard it there first. It'll go down as a famous city of revival. The dumb spake after the devil was cast out. Do you imagine somebody not being able to speak? Now, here's what's amazing to me is, now just think about this miracle. A lot of the dumb people, not dumb, stupid dumb, but dumb, unable to speak, many of them were that way from birth. Now, just naturally speaking, if your tongue was loosed, you'd still have to learn the language. Your brain still could, if you've never spoke, you would not be able to pronounce words in the natural. Now here's a double miracle. Not only did the devil go, and not only was their tongue loose to speak, they could actually speak words, intelligent words. God doesn't do anything cheap. He does it all in full. And so when this devil left that had been on them all their life, here they're able to speak. Well, do you think they were praising God? You think praising God's going to be a part of the people that see the miracles that take place around us? Hallelujah. And the Pharisees said, he cast out devils through the prince of the devils, and Jesus went about all their cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the kingdom of God and healing every sickness and every, I love that word, every sickness and every disease among the people. Hallelujah. Every. Everybody say every. Hallelujah. Say every means me being a part of it. Hallelujah. Everybody, I should say, means me being a part of it. Glory. Hallelujah. Father, we bless you. Send to our hearts more and more the portrait of revival. Seeing everything that you so desire. I love you, Jesus. We commit this night unto you. We commit this night unto you. Cause those who hear this word to be transformed into the image of Christ. We bless you and give you glory in the precious name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. 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 I'm going to ask you to avail yourself to giving tonight before you leave. I'm going to ask whether it's this service or the service, it'd have to be in the service in the next couple of services, but that you consider before the Lord helping me get to Tulsa. Praise God. And that is something we're believing for. We're going, but we're also believing for the funds to go. So we're praying that, and we know that'll happen. That's not your responsibility. All your responsibility is to believe God with us and listen to the Holy Spirit. But whatever He hears you say, or whatever you hear Him say, not whatever He hears you say. Just please do it. Hallelujah. Father, we love you. We give you all the glory. We ask you now to speak to our hearts. We thank you that Immokalee is saved. We thank you, Lord, that we're headed towards wonderful things. We commit this night unto you. We commit this giving unto you and this blessing from above. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Stand with me. Hallelujah. All right. We'll just go ahead And you can bring this forward and give somebody a great big hug. Hallelujah. Amen. Can I have your attention? I'm sorry. Candy just brought this to me and I didn't pay attention. Cynthia and Alan Morris, they have a baby that is supposed to be born tomorrow, C-section. And it has Trisopy 18 is the name of the disease. It is supposed to, according to natural circumstances, not be able to live any time outside of the womb. It's supposed to, they thought it would be already gone, and they're given a C-section tomorrow, and it also has a clubbed foot. They do know that by the sonogram. But it's already been, he has already been named. His name is Jacob, and baby Jacob. So could you pray with me right now? So we've already prayed, but we're going to pray in this atmosphere. Father, if what we say is true, and I believe it is, all of these things are possible. So I'm asking you, I'm not asking you to come and do this. You've already done this. But then we give the directives. Here's our directives through the mighty name of Jesus. Jacob, live. This damnable disease that is in your body, I command it in the name of Jesus, destroyed and dismissed. In the name of Jesus, I rebuke this disease and I command it dismissed out of his body, destroyed. Young man, you have an inheritance with God, and I command you to live and not die. Come out of the womb tomorrow and live in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen.